Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Transformation Cafe. Hello, everyone. Join us tonight for another hour of life designer style conversation and discussion and learning as we nosh on the current events and trends with a spiritual perspective. You can join in the conversation of our show by calling 646-727-3206. That's 646-727-3206. Or you can go online to the chat area. We'd love to hear from you. So let's get started and introduce our diners for tonight.
Good evening, good evening. On whatever time you're joining us, this is the Transformation Cafe. And just really want to thank you for checking us in. If you're live with us tonight, we do have the chat room open. And that number again is 646-727-3206. And we've got the chat room. And we've got, it's kind of a couple girls sitting and having a nice, interesting conversation. Miss Gloria, how are you tonight?
I am feeling very mellow this evening. How are you?
Yeah, I am good. I am as mellow as well. My name is Robin, and we've got Gloria on tonight. So Gloria and I were talking a little bit before the show started, and we really wanted to come from a place of talking about hope and how important that is on just, you know, coming from day to day with the different challenges and experiences that we're everybody's walking through right now. And Gloria was really inviting us to kind of walk through that. So thank you, Gloria. So we were talking, I went ahead and looked up hope. I always think it's interesting to pull up a word and look at what it means as opposed to what you think it means, because it's always interesting to look up the word. So hope is expectation and desire combined for a thing, a person, thing, or circumstance that gives cause for hope. Grounding of hope, promise. What is hoped for? Feeling hopeful. Expectations of desires. Feel fairly confident. There we go. Feeling fairly confident. I like that for hope. How about that? That's a good one.
I like that.
Yeah, I'm feeling fairly confident. Feeling very fairly good. And then it's interesting they use the word fairly. Yeah. Fairly, yeah. Very hope. Fairly hopeful. Fairly, I'm back in the days when I think people still do it now, and it's going, this, you know, the saying of this too shall pass when it comes to levels of having any kind of levels of challenge or just things that we're kind of having to sit with on a certain level for just you know, expanding ourselves. Because I always think whenever we have challenges or anything that we'd be looking to for a sense of hopefulness, there's always that level, especially on a spiritual perspective, that we're coming from a place of, we're kind of growing out of the shell that we've had as a comfort zone for a sense of who am I as a person, and really evolving into the next level of who I am, another layer of expansion. So, you know, in some ways you're like, hoo-hoo, I've got this thing going on, even though on a human element we're like, oh, my God, I got this thing going on.
Well, you know, it's interesting because most humans do not embrace change readily. And so it's interesting that the phrase, this too shall pass, because then you are actually looking forward to change. So
yeah, that's true. That's very true. Touché on that one. That's very, very true. Yeah, because it's always, you know, looking for the next thing to be, you know, well, the only thing you can count on is change, you know, how that goes. So
exactly.
It's very interesting. So, yeah. So I know that you have so many different levels of skills when it comes to counseling and working on different levels of modalities. So what is your perspective of when you're working with someone who would really kind of be in a place of needing to feel more hopeful? How have you helped them to be walking more into that level of wellness for themselves?
Well, looking into their future, you know, getting that long-range possibility. I know that, and one of the things that we had talked about in one of the questions that came up for me, it's like, well, you know, once you lose hope, is that typical of the definition or the diagnosis of being in depression? Because in depression, we seem to not have hope. It's almost as if the future no longer exists and where we are now can never get better. So I would say that by continuing to look in answer to your question and based on that thought, that the way to move back into hope is to start looking towards the future again.
Mm-hmm. Seek to have something that you could be proactive about and just mean, you know, taking even some kind of a positive action for yourself or for your situation.
Well, regardless of whether we are proactive or not, if you are missing hope, you can't always readily find it.
Yeah.
I know. And so it's almost one of those things that can be an illusion and just out of reach for many people. But
mm-hmm.
human beings as a whole are hopeful in the sense that they look forward to the possibilities of what if and the challenges that they can overcome to succeed for a vision or a goal. So there is a sense of hope, and I would say that there's varying degrees of it. There's the conscious hope, and then there's the unconscious conscious. And so all of those levels of consciousness that have been identified, I think, would hold different levels of hope.
Mm-hmm. I don't know, and I'm thinking about just, you know, because I know with some people, there's always that conversation that people could have when you're kind of like moving into places when, you know, you isn't identifying it as a sense of hopelessness when they're talking about the dark night of the soul. You know, when you've got those levels of different challenges that come up in your life and really just show you on whatever level you're just so much stronger than you ever thought you would be or you could be. And just capabilities and your sense of depth of yourself in your situations.
I would think that the dark night of the soul, though, isn't so much about hope as it is about feeling lost and not seeing the light on where to go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they talk about the dark night of the soul. I'm sure that we're all entitled to have more than one.
Mm-hmm.
So it's more I would see it more as a space of catharsis.
Mm, okay.
Where you're looking at what is and what you want and what needs to change to make that happen and the steps that need to occur.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because when you're looking from a level, well, when it comes to being hopeful, I mean, you know, I enjoy listening to Abraham Hicks and the messages from Abraham. And one thing I always go back to resonating with is, it's just coming from a level of basking in the things you can be grateful for that are right here with you. You know, having, you know, your home, having certain things around you that just give you a lot of pleasure and comfort. You know, it could be a wonderful pillow. You know, it could be a certain shirt that you enjoy wearing. It could be watching certain plants or flowers that you've, you know, started from seed and having them growing and, you know, and thriving around you. And it's just those simple things that we can be grateful for that really kind of put us back into a perspective of, you know, being in the now and enjoying what's just right here in front of us and what's around us and just being that level of basking. And with Abraham, there's that reminder of, like, things are always working out for me. You know, things are always working out for me. And looking for that as a possibility of that instead of getting that mindset because, you know, when we think something, you know, as you think, so shall you be. You know, and having that level of being able to be coming from a level of beyond ourselves sometimes when it comes to levels of having certain sets of situations and stuff like that. So it's such a global mind now when it comes to levels of, I'm seeing such a duality right now. There's that duality of having people, you know, looking to the negative, but yet there's so much, invention and creativity and senses of being able to express yourself in freedoms that we haven't even really thought about before, because I've been watching a lot of business conversations and things like that. Some of these motivational speakers and stuff that have their own YouTube channels, and they basically they love that because if they go into regular TV and stuff like that, they start getting restrictions about what they can talk about and not talk about. It's even being able to self-publish nowadays. You can publish what you want when you want, and it's not a matter of the volume. It's a matter of reaching the people that are interested in actually having the kind of messages that you're putting out there. So it's, you know, it's reaching the, you know, people in a different way when it comes to levels of being able to touch other people. So so, you know, there's that new level of growth that's coming out on the planet. So, you know, we've got this whole thing of, I think, of different levels of beliefs that we're letting go of. So some of that hopefulness could be coming from that level of looking at, you know, to what am I really focusing on when I could really do everything that I wanted to do? And there's that joy then. It's, you know, the sense of cost and the sense of ownership of who and what I've been able to create is still that much more viable and thriving than any other time on the planet. When you come to look at that, you know, thanks to certain levels of technology. So there is a hopefulness in that. Because Robin runs off. I get on my soapbox and, you know, there she goes, you know. But there's, you know, there is that hopefulness of stuff like that. It's like I'm even seeing things with, you know, with green energy and just all the different things there. My husband was telling me tonight about they're looking at a new transportation that's based on, you know, the tubes when in the bank.
I heard about
it. You know, they basically work on air pressure. We had this long conversation about it. Is that going to be doable? Because, go ahead.
Apparently they're working out the glitches on not crushing the human brain.
Well, you know, and I'm thinking if there's any kind of air brakes or something like that, there's leaks in the tubes or something like that, they're not going to be able to sustain the air pressure, right? So you've got that all kind of going on. And what happens if, you know, for whatever reason, they're not able to send it the way they want to send it, and they have to get into the tube and be able to get the people out? I mean, there's that dynamic too. So I don't know. You just start being, you know, the devil's advocate with some of that kind of stuff and say, well, what if this and what if that?
Well, they'll create robots like they have for the hazardous waste and oil lines now, where they have robots that go in and fix things if they're broken. So they'll send a robot in and out.
So they'll send a robot to go get everybody out. Okay.
Right. When you were talking earlier and you were talking about technology, you know, it's almost as if you're saying that hope is based upon even the idea of being open and curious.
Yes.
Because if you are looking forward and imagining what things hold, then you're looking more at your curiosity levels as well.
And just the wonder of things, you know, just like, what if we could do this and what if we could do that? That's what's so wonderful to get with, you know, people and just have brainstorming sessions on things like that. I think when it comes to levels of just being hopeful, I mean, and to me too, you know, sometimes it's going and hanging out with a bunch of little kids because there's just such that mindset that there nothing would be impossible. You know, it's like, you know, you have some kind of simple problem solving that they would do, and they take, you know, damn, the kids are going to come up with all these unique ways of looking at it because they just don't know life the way we do. So, you know, there's all these other possibilities and things.
No one ever told them they couldn't do it, right?
Exactly. No one told them you couldn't do it that way, so they're going to start thinking of all these other ways that we hadn't even thought about, you know, putting everybody in the tube and sending them across the United States or whatever, you know, how that goes. So I was watching an interview with Branson today, and he was talking about, you know, Galactic Virgin and how his eyes just lit up when he talked about being able to go in space and how all these people who are private astronauts now, you know, you're not with NASA or anything else. You basically can go out and be an astronaut just because of, you know, it's a desire of your heart and, you know, you got enough money, you can do it. Which, I don't know, would you do that? Would you want to go up into in a spaceship like that?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think I do. I don't have really, I mean, I appreciate the images we've been able to see from space of being able to see Earth, which is really beautiful. But I don't know how I would be, you know, being that high up away from the Earth. I don't know if that would be something, I just don't have a passion for that.
I think it would be based on circumstances. I think it would be based on circumstances. I mean, I really enjoy that ride where they crank you up really, really high and you pull the ripcord and you fall down. So I realize
you probably can do it easier than me then, because I'm like, I don't even want to do that. Okay.
I realize that, you know, there is a much larger difference in distance there than just that. But I think it could depend on the circumstances.
quite a bit distant. Yeah, quite a bit different, you know, different distance. But I don't know. I really, you know, love the thought of being on the earth and connected to the earth and all that kinds of stuff. So it's very interesting. I had such a different experience because I had the opportunity a few years ago to go on a cruise from Mexico to Hawaii, and we were at sea for four days at sea. And for anybody who's gone on a cruise and, you know, you just go out and there's just nothing but ocean. It's just amazing. It was an amazing experience for me about how vast that felt on whatever level. So to think about that and then, oh, my gosh, I felt so connected to God when I did that. And it really surprised me because I kind of thought that I was going to be afraid because there was no land. And I thought, oh, gosh, how am I going to handle that when I have no. So it was, well, you know, it totally surprised me once I got out, you know, and we couldn't see any land for three and a half, 4 days. But I mean, when we came into Maui, I wanted to go ashore, go to shore as soon as possible and kiss the ground. So which was funny because when we were coming into Maui, it was really early in the morning. It was just right before sunrise, and I just had this knowing to get up. And I got up, and sure enough, you could see the silhouette of the island in the close distance. And I leaned up, you know, I was up there on the railing and just watched us get closer and closer as the sun rose and, you know, lit up the island and all that. So it's just a real magical morning for me to, you know, to come back to, to land and to see it as Maui, you know, as paradise. So that was just a really neat experience for me in my life to come from that level. And I could hear the humming, the tone, because I say that, you know, you can, every different continent, every different area, like all the different planets in Hawaii actually have their own tone because everything vibrates at a certain frequency. Yeah, and I could hear it. I could hear the island, which sounds really strange. It might be a little woo-woo for some people. But I could hear the island, and it was just this beautiful hum of of the island kind of calling us to come on, it's such a good deal. And I was like, yeah, I'm ready.
You mean it wasn't saying go away, the ocean bothering me?
Yeah, exactly. But
it didn't bother me.
So, you know, if I look at that experience of just the ocean and then going back to land and then being up in a spaceship, oh my goodness. You know, I'd be up in the spaceship. I definitely would have hope that I would be coming back down again and coming back to hard land. That would be good.
I think that it would be a really good wake-up call for a lot of people in how they see the planet.
Oh, yeah.
As a lifeline.
I agree.
And mm-hmm. really what they would be willing to do to take care of that planet. And I think make a big impact. I think it would make a big impact overall.
I think you're right. Yeah, because I mean, you do realize how we're just this little, you know.
I mean, if you're up in space,
part of the bigger universe.
If you're up in space and you have no land mass as a tether to attach to, once you got back to the planet, you would have a huge and new respect. That's what I
think. Think of how many astronauts have come back and they've gotten themselves involved in government and wanted to just make an impact and make a difference in the world on that level, on a for the United States and stuff like that. You know, there. I think there's.
How many are there? Because I don't have a clue.
Oh well, I'm thinking of at least three different astronauts that when they came back, they basically got involved in politics. And they said that they hadn't really had that as a desire for themselves until they did see the planet that way. And it just totally changed their perspective and their passions for how they wanted to make an impact on the planet.
So we're going to have a teen program called Kids in Space. Save the planet. Go to space.
Yeah, maybe that's true. Well, you know what? I mean, once they, you know, Galactic Virgin, you know, Virgin Galactic gets going, it'll be interesting to see how people are about how they're feeling about the planet. There was I went to a meetup last night for women's entrepreneurs, and the guy who was he had introduced this book called Pendulum, and it's all about, you know, the rhythms of timelines and things like that, the change. Talked about the, you know, the late 60s and 70s, how everything was where pretty much we are now. You know, it's the green movement and everybody coming from more getting grounded in going into levels of community and group support as opposed to, you know, individuals and taking care of themselves. It's like, you know, I'm going to be in a level of community and for causes instead of having it just be for people. And because that pendulum had gone way over on the other side, you know, with the banking and all that stuff, that basically people had been taking advantage of the situations with different systems and stuff like that. So we're definitely moving back into the pendulum of, you know, more of a group supportive and community supportive, you know, mindset, which is exciting. Yeah, which is very exciting. And apparently the book kind of goes into that a little bit more so. But that reminds me of, you know, had you ever read any of those books called Megatrends? Do you remember those?
I did read a book called Trends, but not Megatrends.
Yeah, because Megatrends has been out for quite a while. And it came out, I think, originally like in the 80s. I remember reading a couple of them. It's similar kind of a thing. They would talk about, you know, what's going on with just different trends in technology and education and just different developments on the planet and, you know, what were people going to be moving into and looking at. And there was always that seeking of balance between technology and what they call the soft sciences and people's basic needs. And how, you know, the more technology tried to take over, there was going to be those basic soft needs that people were going to be hungering for, because it was a matter of always seeking to be balanced with, you know, between everything that was kind of going on with just, you know, life getting faster and, you know, getting a lot more occupied than anything. So it's real interesting.
That is.
So, yeah, yeah. So, you know, hope. It's all hopeful and you know, moving us in this positive direction. So do you feel like the hope has changed since, you know, we've kind of gone over the changes that they were all trying to speculate with in December, you know, 2012, and having that Mayan calendar shifting over and where we are now? I mean, it's been, you know, over 6 months now since we've had the shift on that, and we definitely have seen a lot of changes on the planet. But, you know, just levels of, you know, good and bad, considering what we've got going on with everything. But, you know, where are you thinking with all that stuff when it comes to levels of hopefulness and having things, you know, turning into this new level of advanced spiritual growth and having people coming from a new perspective?
Are you asking me?
Mm-hmm.
I haven't really experienced a lot within my own sphere of influence, but I have mm-hmm. noticed that a lot of people coming out of high school and into college are a lot more grounded. They seem to be more engaged in their own futures, if that's
mm-hmm.
possible. I mean, before it was about experiencing life and, you know, experiencing. And so now I think that they're coming to a balance where the experience is important and they're also looking forward with getting on with life.
So they kind of hit the ground running once they get out of school. Well, I mean, you know, but then we've got these kids that are basically graduating from colleges and stuff, and they're not being able to, you know, go out and get, you know, work within their degrees, you know.
Right, and that's still the case. And yet
mm-hmm.
each new generation, you're not going to, it's that cyclical, like the game where the rows continue to move upwards, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
like you have a layer of generations that continue to go upwards in their own experiences. And so when you have a generation that is looking to the generation before them, they're going to take what they see and then become more, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I answered your question.
Yeah. Well, and I don't know. For whatever reason, that made me think about, you know, there's so many kids that are dealing with autism now, and that just the challenges of being, you know, young parents and having those kinds of new perspectives. That, you know, kids that are autistic have the talent of really calling us to see things from a new perspective. It's like one of my friends, she's a Sunday school teacher, and she had gone to her church service, and one of the kids that she normally has in her Sunday school class, he was down by the stage area, and she was up, you know, where before she came down into the pew area, And he was all saying, "Hey, how's it going?" And he's all yelling at her and everything right before the service is supposed to start, which is just so funny because everybody kind of sat down and got settled, you know, and the pastor, you know, teased her about that. And everybody turned around and said hi to her because, you know, this one kid that was autistic had done it right before the service started. So, but, you know, just for her, she loved it because there was all these people paying attention to her, and it was a matter of saying hi in a loving way to her that he was just coming from that genuine, big-hearted place, you know, just from being in the now, and there she is, and, oh, my gosh, you got to say hi, you know.
Well, and it's also about shifting people's consciousness and acceptance, because when you have a lot of the indigo children that were doing drugs because time is going so fast and they need to slow down and they're feeling so much that they need to focus, and so they'll maybe cut themselves so that they are able to have more of a sensation of now versus mm-hmm. everything all at once. And mm-hmm. when you have new generations of evolution of humanity, society as a whole is always going to be the last individual, if I may call them an individual, that will actually make it acceptable to be that way. And so when mm-hmm. you have an evolution of humanity and you need cultures to shift, you know, you have that type of response, and then that becomes more welcoming to that change and to accepting those people.
Yeah, because, I mean, you know, I think out of every 110 kids, you know, out of every 110 kids, there's one kid that's autistic. I think that's the ratio nowadays, which, you know, if you think about that, you're like, oh, my goodness, that's a lot of new perspective that's on the planet.
Well, I heard about 2 years ago that there will be a new, it will be defined as a disease, and it will be so intense that there will be individual, I guess you could call it a camp set up, to separate these individuals from humanity, but it's along mm-hmm. the lines of a developmental issue. But apparently mm-hmm. these people that are coming in with this, what will be termed as a disability, will actually be in higher evolution of connection with Source.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's like it's almost shocking to me to hear you say that they're going to, you know, separate them from just everybody interacting with each other. And that would be very unfortunate.
Right, but I heard that it would be the saving grace of them, because as they gain their own momentum and strength, it will protect them from being influenced and from being disparaged.
Okay.
And so it sounds terrible, but it will actually be a protective aspect that will help them, and that will help move humanity into a different state.
Huh. That's interesting.
It is.
Just, you know, having different faces when it comes to levels of defining hope, having a way, you know, be able to define it as, you know, having it be... What was the definition again? I'm trying to remember what it said. But just being in that place of...
Fairly confident?
Fairly confident. Yeah, being confident, fairly confident in moving forward and honoring everybody for who they are and how they can move forward. So, well, like normal, our 30 minutes go super fast. So... enjoyed our little conversation, Miss Gloria.
It's been a pleasant chat with you. I miss all of our listeners.
As always. So we want to thank all of our listeners for checking us out here at the cafe. May you have a very hopeful week, and we talk to you later. Thanks for joining us.
This has been another wonderful evening filled with lively and unusual dinner conversation and you. We are so glad you decided to join us. You make it special, and we are always happy to hear from you at Transformation Cafe. You can find out more about the people on our shows by clicking on our website, transformation-cafe.com, and checking out where all our other previous shows are available on demand. or here at Blog Talk Radio Transformation Cafe. If you are interested in appearing as a guest chef, you can email us at show@transformation-cafe.com. Thanks again. Travel well, and we will see you next time here at Transformation Cafe. Good night.